Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Ready for week six of the NFL season. You know we are here at the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Week six kicking off tonight. We are ready to break things down for you on this episode of the Fantasy Football Pod. Michael Beller leading things off here. I am joined by Jake Seeley. Jake, what's up, man?
What's up? I need my second win. Usually I get it right around this time of the year, and I need that second one because we got an extra week this year. I don't know, maybe. Yeah. I haven't played a video game since the season. Actually, since August, we were doing our preseason coverage. I haven't even, like, done anything. And that Back for Blood, the zombie game, the new one came out for everybody that knows what I'm talking about on Xbox. Maybe I'll try and get into that on the weekend. It'll give me some new life. Extra oomph.
How about a zombie game giving you new life? It's like you're sort of a zombie wandering through this football season, and you just need a little bit of that video game blood to sustain you. Brandon Funston also here with us. What's up, Brandon?
I'm doing good, and I'm doing better now because Jake gave me something to, you know, name drop to my 15-year-old son to give me some street cred. Like, how about that new Back for Blood game? Yeah, exactly. He's got his Xbox One. He might actually think I'm kind of cool
Does he have Game Pass? Game Pass. There you go.
Yeah, he has that. Okay.
You can tell him it's by the makers of Left 4 Dead. There you go. I gave you two name drops there.
Space them out. Space them out like a couple of days because you might need... Right,
you can't do it. This is where you're gonna sound like a dad if you do that. You have to be like, I saw those Left 4 Dead people came out with Back 4 Blood. Are you gonna play it? Like that's what you do. That's how there's your street cred.
Am I looking like a dad for writing this down?
Right. Is it on the schedule behind you?
Not yet.
Right. Put it on there. Then you definitely won't forget. We're here to talk some week six rankings. It's our first week, you guys, with bye weeks. Not actually a bad bye week group in the fantasy world, right? We've got the Jets, Falcons, 49ers, and Saints. So, you know, no one that we're – obviously, there's a couple of guys. There's always going to be a couple of guys. But as far as bye weeks in the fantasy world go, this one's certainly not a bad one. But just keeping in mind, bye weeks now for pretty much the rest, right? The rest of the fantasy regular season are bye weeks. All the way through week 14. So something we're going to be dealing with all the way up until just about Christmas. So keep that in mind as we are going through this discussion. We're going to start things off at the quarterback position, you guys. And I was going through your rankings, your respective rankings yesterday. And first thing that jumped out to me is this. Jake, we're doing this Taylor Heineke thing, huh?
We're doing it. I know a lot of people were disappointed from last week, and I've said this multiple times already on two different people. I don't even know what shows I've said it on at this point, but the truth about Heineke, I even talked about on the Washington Huddle show that's here locally that we cover, that I do on Wednesday nights, is the fact that his dial doesn't turn down from a 10 in aggressiveness. Like, he's essentially Jameis. This is what I made the comparison. Jameis Winston, when he threw 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions, obviously, well, 33 and 30, but you get the point. It's like he doesn't know how to turn it off. And that's part of the reason he's been in and out of the NFL, and then he was in the XFL for part of a time. That's part of the reason he's been a backup. And part of the reason, too, is he knows that he has to do everything he possibly can to just have a job in the NFL. So you would love to see him be able to turn that dial down and make some smarter plays. But for fantasy purposes, more often than not, it's not that bad. We'll take it. I mean, there's a reason Jameis Winston was a top five quarterback, even with 30 interceptions. And you add to it, he's facing the Chiefs. It doesn't get much better than facing the Chiefs, especially when, on the flip side, the Washington team is also top five for having passes going against them. So you know the Chiefs are going to push the score. So it's just this is the perfect matchup, the first situation, which probably means he's going to go through a 150 and two interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, Jake said it all pretty much. He forgot to throw in the 25-plus rushing yards per game that come with him. But yeah, you imagine high volume. It's not pretty. He doesn't have a strong arm, and when he tries to, you know, play at that 10 pace that Jake says, and he tries to force a pass when he doesn't have that strong arm, it gets intercepted, and that's just the way it goes. But, yeah, it's working out. What is he, QB 15 right now? And this is the best matchup on paper for a quarterback, so I'm ranking him 13. which is, you know, basically saying if you got him and you want to pull, yeah. Maybe do I have him 12? I might have him 12. I don't know. If I have him 12, I can say he's a QB 1 for me. So, but he's right.
I can
there.
Say yeah. he's a QB 1. So there you go.
Yeah, you've got him inside the top 12, Jake.
Yeah, at 12, right on the nose. In front of us, I'd play him over Sam Darnold against Minnesota.
Yep.
Who else you got him over?
Right behind that, Tannehill, Daniel Jones, who's in, Trevor Lawrence, Carson Wentz, Kirk Cousins, and down from there.
There you go, Taylor Heinicke jumping up. Could be a high-scoring game.
Oh, I got him at 12. I got him at 12.
Oh, look at this. We've got unanimous. Oh, my God. I'm going to knock this mic over one of these days.
Unanimous.
QB1. Taylor Heinicke. We go out and get him in your lineups. Jake, you mentioned Ryan Tannehill. You're at QB 14 on him. Brandon, much lower. Let's go head-to-head on Ryan Tannehill. Let's hear from Brandon first. Make the anti-Tannehill case.
Well, so first of all, Tannehill this season's QB 20. I mean, he's got, what, 5 touchdown passes on the year. And so I'm sort of ranking him where he's been producing to. But now you also add into the fact this is the opposite of Taylor Heinicke. He's facing the Buffalo Bills, who are giving up 5.4 yards per pass attempt. It's almost a full yard better than anybody else in the league. Yeah, they've played some bad quarterbacks, but they also played a couple good quarterbacks as well. And I just, you know, maybe I'll move him up if we get Julio Jones back. It sounds like he's trying to get himself back. But if it's just A.J. Brown, I don't think that's enough for me. I could get as high as maybe QB 18 or 17, but I'm not getting him close to the QB 1 range this week.
Yeah, we talk about Tyler Heinicke, though. He did throw 2 touchdowns against this team. Granted, he ran for 1, which really helped his day. But it really comes down to, Brandon just mentioned it, I have Julio Jones in. And, you know, if I don't have Julio Jones in, I'm looking at my ranks right now. It wouldn't be a huge knock. I'd probably still have him over Brandon. I would definitely put him behind Daniel Jones even against the Rams. They don't have Darius Williams, which helps a little bit. But I'd probably put him behind Daniel Jones. And then I start trying to debate. I mean, I don't know that I like Trevor Lawrence against Miami, but at the same time, I don't, you know, Tannehill I trust more. Carson Wentz look fine, got a great matchup, but he's still standing in mud in the backfield there. So I just, there's a lot that's just in this mess. Maybe Kirk Cousins, but I just feel like the problem with that, the reason I have Kirk Cousins down here is because I have Dalvin Cook coming back. So there's a lot of ifs here. Is like, I just don't think like Kirk Cousins is not going to have to throw the ball 35 times against Carolina if Dalvin Cook is back.
One thing I'll do to argue against myself really quickly is Tennessee does change defenses. Like you can't play a deep cover 2 against the Tennessee Titans, and otherwise Derrick Henry is going to liable to go for 200 yards against you. You have to bring safeties up to the line of scrimmage. So I know Buffalo's been doing that a lot, and that's how they basically kept Pat Mahomes in check. But I still think it's going to be – they're still a great defense, and it still kind of has me concerned.
Well, and he let Mecole Hardman just destroy them because of what you just
said. Yeah, what, 9-12, 76 for Hardman in that game?
Yeah.
Yeah, and not to – like, I do want to – I want to sidebar real quick. Sorry, Miller. I don't want to, like, take over the show.
No,
but I want
sidebar,
people to
sidebar.
Understand. No, I want people to understand because I'm glad that Brandon brought up that point because on – I know I've done this on 2 shows this week. I brought up that point of what you just said about cover 2 for why the Ravens are working so well this year is because – you try to start Marquise Brown deep, and when the cover 2, you open it up for Lamar Jackson to go all 50 yards in any single run that he wants. And that's so what you do is end up pulling the safeties back in, and then you hit Marquise Brown over the top. The difference is it's not like they've never tried to do that before, but this year they're increasing the passing opportunities for Lamar Jackson, which is just created this storm of there's nothing you can do to stop the Ravens right now. So that's a very important thing to look for, what Brandon just mentioned, especially if you can I know some reports by different sites are out there. You can look at teams that run a lot of cover 2 or even cover 3.
I felt the quarterback position this week was relatively self-evident. There weren't too many hard decisions to make. I don't think too many people are going to have that tough of choices to make at the quarterback position. So I thought we could take a moment to ask, is there a QB you would think about trading for right now? It's a position that we don't often think about making trades at. But, yeah, Jake, it was actually something in your column that that sparked me to ask you guys this question. What are you looking at here?
I am buying. I don't understand the hesitancy of it, but I'm still buying Joe Burrow. And this is not the draft Joe Burrow, but I saw people are like, oh, should I really want to start him this week? He's, you know, been kind of quiet or whatever. It's like, he's facing the Lions, first of all. Like, how do you not want to start your quarterback? And what I kind of put in there and what you said in the column is I liken it. He's turning into Ryan Tannehill and the fact that he's been remarkably efficient. He's throwing 2, 3 touchdowns on only 25, 28, 30 pass attempts. It's not the 40 pass attempts per game, which is why we were banging the table, draft Joe Burrow. But if he's going to ever throw 40 times in a game and keep this efficiency, which is what we want from our quarterbacks in general, like I just... And you look at the schedule, it's not that scary down the stretch. If you were hesitant on Joe Burrow because of that slow start and people are still not treating him as a top 10 potential quarterback, go get him now.
I would throw in a guy that we all had ranked right next to Joe Burrow going into the season is Trevor Lawrence. I think you look at it as a insurance quarterback to have, or you're not happy with the guy that you have. First of all, Trevor Lawrence plays in the easiest division in the league, and there's some nice matchups down the stretch with him. But he's running Trevor Lawrence now. I mean, he's getting 20-plus.
Finally.
He's like Taylor Heinicke. He's getting you that 25 rushing yards per game and calling his number at the goal line. I just think, you know, we saw this with Joe Burrow. He was shaky early as a rookie, and then he really started to get into a groove, and then he got hurt, and we lost it. But, you know, I kind of feel like maybe Trevor Lawrence is on the same track.
Here's the good thing about yours real quick is you might not even have to because they have a bye next week. People might just outright drop
him. Well, I know he was available in one of my 12-team leagues where I had Russell Wilson. I picked him up. Yeah,
there you go. So we've got a new chant now for the show. Now it's trade for Joe Burrow. Trade for Joe Burrow. Let's do it. Let's
get four in there really quick.
Yeah.
Trade for Burrow. There we go. Trade for Burrow.
Trade for for Burrow, right? There we go.
They can do it with Lawrence too.
See, we could bring a little musical element to this show. I know I keep trying to push it. We could bring a little musical element to this show if we want to. Joe Burrow could definitely be the inspiration for that right there, you guys. All right, guys, let's jump over to the running back position here. We're going to start this off with Make a Case For. It's become my favorite game on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast every single Thursday. We're going to make a case for some guys, so you know the drill. I've got four names right here. We're just going to mix them up.
That's good. While you're mixing them up, it's still 6 weeks in. You need to bring back the blackboard because we still haven't used it after I bought it for the season.
I promise you, Jake, my word to you, we will bring back the blackboard next week. All right, here's the one I'm going with for first one today. All right, this is an interesting dude. Let's go to Jake on this one. Let's make a case for Latavius Murray.
This is easy to make a case for Latavius Murray. I generally, after what we just saw, don't want a lot to do with backfields that are a mess. But the good thing for Latavius Murray this week is it's all matchup dependent. I know Ballard's going to get mad because it was a parlay, but it was a small parlay. I was just having fun. But I had a parlay that included Latavius Murray scoring a touchdown. I got every single else part of the parlay. It was only a five-way parlay. I lost that part of it. I was so rooting for to get the touchdown. But the Chargers... The Chargers, the Cardinals, those are two of the most exploitable run defenses this year. Last year, we knew it was the Lions, which still are this year, but it was Lions and Packers. It was the whole David Montgomery stretch down the way. So if you look at it with Latavius Murray, is the Chargers are allowing a ton of big runs, a ton of touchdowns, a ton of runs up the gut. And this just sets up for a Latavius Murray game. Devontae Freeman got some use in the passing game late, which would be a concern if they had to pass more. Tyson Williams is still clearly the third option down the chart. This is basically Latavius Murray. I'm going in this game hoping for 60 yards and a touchdown.
And he's just one of the guys in that group. We talked about it a little bit last week. There are a lot of guys who fit into that group. Latavius feels like one, maybe the best of that group this
week.
Sorry,
I'm laughing at Phil because he said somebody reimbursed me. Yes, reimburse me my $13 for that little
blackboard.
Reimburse
Jake for that blackboard that he purchased. Get him some space in the house for crying out loud. Let's see.
While you're shuffling, I'm going to have to go find that out, Joe. John just said congrats to me for being number 4. I thought it was number 6, but thanks either way. I'm in the top 10 still for accuracy.
Congrats to Jake and congrats to Brandon for making a case for, where is it at? There it is, Devontae Booker.
Oh, Devontae Booker. the zero wins above replacement for Saquon Barkley. Look at, we always preach volume, and what did we see when Barkley went out? He had 19 touches in that game after Barkley went out in the first quarter, and he is we saw how much Saquon Barkley gets used in this offense, and they use Booker the same way. So then it comes down to, okay, you're getting the touches, you're getting the goal line touches as well, two touchdowns in that game, one rushing, one short area receiving touchdown. So now it's a matchup, the Rams. It's the Rams. It sounds bad, but they're giving up 4.3 yards per carry to the running back position. They're top 10 in yards allowed to running backs. So I look at Booker saying volume is game script agnostic for him, you know, so he's going to be in there whether they're getting blown out or whether it's competitive, and he's going to be getting his touches. To me, that is worth a back-end RB2 play for sure.
There you go, and he was. Yeah, what's up, Jake?
I was going to say, my only two hesitancy parts, I mean, I'm 21, so I still have him as a back-end RB2.
Not that hesitant, yeah.
Yeah, against the Rams, of course, but two is just Gary Brightwell. How much is he used when they have a week where they know Barkley? Because 2 weeks ago, Booker was in healthy and active. And again, you know, I don't know if that was maybe something happened in practice that week and it was just a 1 week thing, but isn't going to be 90% again if they go into this game knowing Barkley is out.
My only really quick counter to that would be is I would, with Daniel Jones coming off a concussion, facing Aaron Donald and Floyd, and like, are they going to throw a rookie into significant playing time in that first time? So
then they have Eli. What the hell's his last name? I can't think of his last. The fullback slash
Penny?
Running back.
Oh, Penny.
Thank you, Penny. I couldn't think of his last name.
Rashad's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I mean, you know, pretty successful cases, you guys. We're going to keep making a case here. Give me Brandon and RB3, who should be in lineups this week.
Oh, hold on. I had one. that would be RB3 that should be in lineups. Hold on.
Don't take it.
He's
going to jump in and say it. Okay. So I know who it is. We're going to talk about Myles Gaskin. He's ranked RB25 in consensus this week. Tua's back. We saw him get the 10 targets last week from Jacoby Brissett. But you look at Tua, the history with the two of them together in the five games that they played together. And, you know, it's been double-digit fantasy points in half PPR every time. And Myles Gaskin really, I feel, is sort of starting to separate finally. I think they went through the Malcolm Brown, you know, two yards in a cloud of dust experiment and are ready to move on and lean a little bit more into Myles Gaskin. I think he just fits with Tua. And so I have him well inside my top 20. Not well inside. I have him RB18 this week.
Yeah, comfortably. Jake, save your Gaskin thoughts because this guy's just blown up rundowns left and right. Who's your RB3 that should be in lineups here, Jake?
I see that. I was going to go to your team, your boy, Khalil Herbert. This is twofold. Okay. I don't expect, we talked about it on the Monday show, I don't expect the workload to be that similar. Like, I don't think there'd be 50-50.
Not against the Packers.
Yeah, and the touches to actually be in favor of Herbert. But I do think he's going to be more involved than people originally thought. And I compared it on Monday when we were talking. I said it to the Broncos. It was like a Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams. And you're also, at the same time of being kind of forced into the situation, you're also getting to evaluate Herbert as a rookie potentially for the long-term solution, as I mentioned on Monday, is that he might be the starter next year because Damian Williams and David Montgomery might be gone. So, again, I only have him in the 30s, but you're talking about an RB3, and that's what we're talking about here. Against the Packers, especially if they have to pass a little bit, and I know that's the bigger concern, is that they're not even attempting 20 passes. But if you get some of those dink and dunks and, you know, maybe they just play ball control, that's the biggest thing. Like, no matter which way they go with this, if they just run the ball 60 times or they actually dink and dunk them, either way, Herbert should get touches. That's what's good about it.
I think there's an argument to be made that the Bears can't possibly keep up in a fast-paced game with the Packers. Not that the Packers actually play awfully slow, but they can't keep up in a game that plays into the high 20s.
It's going to be 40-0 and they're still running the ball.
The Bears' formula for winning is, right, like, to pull off the upset is, like, 20-17, something along those lines. Yeah. So,
well,
yeah,
their
maybe
defense
that
has
plays,
been playing good this year. You never know.
Playing very good. It's you know, I'm 37 years old, and I feel like I'm watching the same exact Bear season for like the 34th time in my life. It's just sort of how it goes with this
team.
I thought you were gonna be
37 years old, been watching this defense for 45 years or something. Like that.
That's honestly what it feels like here, you guys. Let's get into one of the other step up running backs this week with Clyde Edwards-Helaire out. Daryl Williams is we're expecting at least taking on a larger role for the Chiefs, and we've got a nice head-to-head here, at least as of last night. This is where you guys had Daryl Williams. Jake was at RB17, Brandon at RB26. Jake, let's hear from you first, the positive case for Daryl Williams with the Chiefs going up against Washington this week.
Yeah, he fell one spot. He's 18, so still it's right there. Either way, he's inside my top 20. It just comes down to he just took over Clyde Edwards-Helaire's role. Hey, let me phrase it this way in the simple version, and I'm like, come for Funston on this one. If you like Booker, how don't you like Daryl Williams? I know McKinnon's going to be involved a little bit, but Daryl Williams is not going to cede 10, 12 touches to Jerick McKinnon, and it's the Chiefs offense, and it's the Washington defense, which, holy crap, I will admit from the jump, I said in the preseason that Washington defense is scary. I will say in week 6, It is not at all. It is the exact opposite. It is a bunch of like pillowcases out there. Like they're doing nothing. I don't get it. So Darrell Williams for the Chiefs. I think this is one, like, if I put a bet just in this game of all, I wouldn't even touch the yards. I would just touch the touchdown score. I would just put Darrell Williams to score a touchdown, I think, is a lock.
Yeah, I think he's Latavius Murray. I think he's 60 yards and a touchdown at his highest. My one-for-one replacement on Saquon went from, if Saquon was playing, I would be ranking as an RB1, where I ranked Devontae Booker, you know, almost outside the top 20. So I'm saying they're going to have the same roles, but I'm noticing a talent difference. And you're ranking Clyde Edwards-Helaire like you might rank, you know, you're ranking Williams like you might rank Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, because I don't think the talent difference is that big.
Well, I think we're going to see more Jerick McKinnon in a complimentary role than we saw Darrell Williams in a complimentary role to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I will say that they are actually pretty good against the run, and they're terrible against the pass, but they've been a decently, you know, they've held their own against running backs on the ground. Darrell Williams is not that dynamic to me, and this is a Chiefs team that they're like 24th in RB touches. You know, they don't throw the ball to the running backs a lot. They actually don't run the ball with the running backs a lot. They don't love the backfield a lot. So I just can't get too excited about Darrell Williams. And like I said, I think McKinnon's going to be bigger than what Williams was in a backup role to Helaire.
We've got some Darrell Williams related questions from Brandon Bright. So let's get to those here. He picked him up for the nice price of $69. Now trying to trade him. Would you do A-Rob and Darrell Williams for Daryl Henderson? And then Darrell Williams for Jamar Chase. I'll speak for all of us. That second one is an absolute slam dunk. Don't even think twice about it. Where are we at on that first one, Funston? A-Rob and Darrell Williams for Darrell Henderson.
Yeah, I'd do that. Darrell Henderson's here for the long haul. Darrell Williams is not. And A-Rob, we don't know. I mean,
somebody asked the other day, they said Allen Robinson for Zach Moss. And I was like, I'll take Moss, mostly because he's also a running back. But I'm surprised you can even get that right now.
Mm. Yeah. As long as Henderson stays healthy, like it's not a platoon. It's not a platoon. I mean, they are not interested in playing Michelle in an even role with Henderson. Henderson's clearly the guy. So, and it's a good setup.
Brandon, you got Darrell Williams correctly twice, and then you messed up on the last one. You gave the extra L on the last one.
that trade is an L.
Yeah,
we'll give you the benefit of the doubt and assume that was an autocorrect there as you were putting in that third Daryl. Let's jump on to our next thing here, you guys. I've actually got three different pairings of running backs that are thought of in a similar vein in the fantasy world. Let's start with guys who are backups on their real life team, and one of them we're assuming that Dalvin Cook does come back. Who's the more viable backup running back in real life as a fantasy starter this week, Jake? Tony Pollard or Alexander Mattison? Again, for the sake of this conversation, assume Dalvin Cook plays.
Assuming Dalvin Cook plays, it's Tony Pollard. I do think Dalvin Cook, if plays, is not going to get his 90% workload. I think the Vikings have finally, I don't know how many times you have to be told or shown that you can't keep doing this to Dalvin Cook, and the fact that Alexander Mattison should be used like Tony Pollard. That's really what it comes down to. So I do think they'll start to lean that way because they're smart, hopefully intelligent coaches, and do let Mattison spell Cook. But we've already seen, even without the injury, Tony Pollard is officially in the RB3 and with buys, if not the top 30, every single week. He's getting 60, 70 yards and potentially a touchdown, even with Zeke going ham and being a top 5 running back. Yeah. So it's Tony Pollard for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think to look at Tony Pollard, sort of like Kareem Hunt. I mean, he's getting double-digit touches every week. He's not scoring as much as Hunt, but their overall workload is like 10-9 difference, like one or two touches difference a week. And it's, you know, Dallas is run blocking really well.
Look at the yards while you're talking.
Yeah. I mean,
their yards are almost identical. It's just the touchdowns.
It's just the touchdowns. Hunt
and Pollard.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, Pollard's you can use even when Elliott's healthy. When Dalvin Cook's all the way healthy.
We've seen it all year.
Yeah. When Dalvin Cook's healthy, you can't use Mattison. So I'd rather.
It's about 450 for Hunt and about 420 for Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard definitely entering this this weekly start conversation for sure, with the role that he's playing in Dallas now that the bye weeks are here, and a very high scoring offense in that Dallas Cowboys.
By the way, Kareem Hunt to score a touchdown every week, you get plus money on
plus
that
odds.
One.
Yeah,
five touchdowns right this season. Right, he had the two and then one. Right, he scored in four games, five touchdowns on the season. So I mean, that team. What a brutal schedule for that team. They rebound off of the Chargers to play the Cardinals at home. I mean, just crazy. They had the Chiefs week one. Crazy start to the season. They could easily lose this week and be just an awesome 3-3 team, although I do think they win. Let's get back to the show here. More viable PPR back, Funston, Nyheim Hines or Kenny Gainwell?
I think that I'm going to go Kenny Gainwell right now, just because suddenly Marlon Mack is basically splitting Nyheim Hines' normal workload. You know, and I was reading Casey Joyner, The Athletic, he does his kind of wrap-up. He kind of was talking about that. It's not that Mack is really taking away a whole lot from Jonathan Taylor. He's taking away from Nyheim Hines. So I guess until they trade Mack, I'm going to want Kenny Gainwell.
For this week only. I would have sent Hines otherwise, but as the Dolphins just shown, what do you do against Tampa? You don't run with your running backs. You pass with your running backs, mm-hmm. and that's really what it comes down to. And that's why for this week, I don't like this entire backfield, period, mm-hmm. Sanders and Gainwell either. Like, every single week has been disgusting for both of them. But in this matchup, I would go Gainwell. Although, I would have, to Brandon's point, I would have went Hines if Mack wasn't being involved the past 2 weeks.
And maybe he isn't involved, and that's something Funston and I talked about earlier this week. Potentially a sneaky pickup. Maybe go grab Marlon Mack and see if he gets traded to a running back needy team over these next couple of weeks before the deadline. One more of these, you guys. Who's the more viable touchdown-dependent back, Jake, James Conner or Alex Collins?
As of today, because I have Carson in the rankings, and I seem to be more optimistic than most. But, you know, so, I mean, if Chris Carson's playing, James Conner. If Chris Carson's out, it's easy. It's Alex Collins. That's the easy one. But James Conner, only because he is their goal line option every single time. He is among the league leaders in goal to go and goal line rush attempts. And he's among the leaders in turning those into touchdowns.
I don't really have anything to add. It's I mean, and for the rest of the season, we're assuming that this isn't like a season ending kind of worry for Carson. Although I don't know if it's safe to assume that, but it's going to be Conner in the role that we've seen him, which is, you know, which offers a lot of decent touchdown upside.
All right, one more running back topic I want to discuss, and Brandon, you blew this up maybe 5 minutes ago. We had a head-to-head setup on Myles Gaskin. We knew you liked him. RB17, Jake's at RB25, so we already heard the glowing case for why you should start Myles Gaskin in week 6. Let's hear the opposite of this, Jake.
Yeah, it's basically similar to Latavius Murray's situation. And it's a messy backfield, but I'm going with the situation of what does the game script look like? Because similar to what we just talked about, like Philly, you know, Miles Sanders. We want Miles Sanders if we know they're going to win. I want Miles Gaskin if they're going to have to pass. And I know you said Tua's coming back and this offense has functioned better with Tua, but Jacoby Brissett's been check down champion with his time under center. And that's the thing, is like Tua's does check down well, but not to the level of Jacoby. And if you're looking at this game, Miami versus Jacksonville, and we expect Miami to win this game, then it's going to be Malcolm Brown and Savon Ahmed getting their carries as they have in every game where they've run more than passed more. So I just, it's more of, do I think he could finish top 20? Absolutely, because I think he's the most talented running back in that backfield. I do agree with Brandon on that. We talked about that in the preseason. Do I trust Flores, who he himself has come out and said, Myles Gaskin, we got to get used in the passing game? That's where I draw the line. And to be honest, like, Brian Flores was on Sunday morning talking about the fact that Devontae Parker wasn't going to play at like 9 o'clock. Brian Flores is somewhat too honest at sometimes. So
we love it.
Got a little Pete
world.
Carroll to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funston, we heard your case for Gaskin. If you've had anything specific to push back on Jake, go for it. Also, just give us maybe a guy or two who you're playing Gaskin over that maybe people would be surprised to hear.
Well, I'm playing him over Daryl Williams, who we already talked about. Let's see. I'm bringing it up really quickly here.
You better not say Damian Harris. I'll just like shut down the show.
Javonte Williams? You playing him over Javonte Williams?
I am playing him over Javonte Williams. Yes, I am. There you go. I am playing him
over Damian Harris.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you're drunk. Too early.
Jake, I hope you're right, man. I have so much Damian Harris. I want to be absolutely wrong on that. But, as of right now, look it. I mean, I'll just go back to the history with Tua and Gaskin. It's been Money in the Bank every week, and and Jacksonville, they've given up six double digit running back scores in 5 weeks. So there's lots to be had. Even two guys could get double digits in this one for the Dolphins.
Well, really quick answer this question for us, for our viewer Alex: Damian Harris or Javonte Williams?
That's for you, Fonston. I already answered you.
I have Javonte Williams ranked higher than Damian Harris this week. It's a little bit wishful thinking. There hasn't been a real discrepancy in the Gordon Williams workload. It's just that Williams each week, whether you're looking at advanced metrics or regular metrics, and throwing out touchdowns, like, Williams is a better back, and we just keep kind of projecting that this kind of change, this sea change, is going to happen in the backfield. And so, but I don't put it past Gordon and Williams to both be better than Harris this week. I just don't know what to make. I'm back to being like Belichicked with this backfield again.
There you go. And man, I mean, I know that it's a trope that we lean on every year, with the London games always being the worst games that get sent out there, but Jets Falcons followed by Dolphins Jaguars, not exactly the NFL's best products going across the pond so far this season. You guys, it's always, you know, kind of fun. They get to see the full range of things over there. Wide receivers next up, you guys, and we had a question on the first guy who I want to talk about. That question came from John the Stone. John wants to know what we think about Kadarius Toney going forward. Let's talk about what we think about Kadarius Toney this week for John, because we've got another boom, 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 head-to-head battle here. Brandon's wide receiver 30, Jake wide receiver 39 on Kadarius Toney this week. Funston, let's hear the positive side of things.
Well, the positive side of things is what you saw the last 2 weeks. This guy is really talented, and the positive side is that Daniel Jones is trending towards playing this week. The positive is he's made plays at every point on the field. He's catching deep balls. He's catching medium passes. He's catching balls behind the line of scrimmage. He's playing in the slot. He's playing outside. He's really excelled everywhere he's been. And last week, it was mostly on the outside. And if we want to say, well, Sterling Shepard's coming back, well, then, you know, we've already known that Kadarius Toney can play on the outside. I mean, Jake's lower, so I guess he can accentuate the negative. I'll just say that the Giants aren't – this guy's not going away. He's uber talented, and there'll never be a week probably when all the Giants receivers are healthy, but I don't think it matters anymore. Darius Slayton, somebody else, is going to take a back seat, and this guy's going to be a regular going forward.
Well, and that's the thing, is that they are, except for Kenny Galladay now. Sterling Shepard is back, Darius Slayton is back, mm-hmm. and that's really what it just comes down to. And you're facing the Rams with Jalen Ramsey, who Jalen Ramsey is not going to shadow anybody, so you're going to get half the game on Toney and half the game on Shepard. He's probably not going to spend any of his interest on Darius Slayton for good reasons, but that's really what it comes down to. He's actually now at 40 for me because he's back-to-back with Shepard. I have Shepard 39. And Toney at 40. You can still start him. Look, that's still plenty of upside, but I'll compare it the same thing I said on the show yesterday. It's like Evan Ingram for the rookie season for the Giants. Yeah, when nobody was left, everybody was on. Like, Shepard was hurt that year. Odell Beckham was, and Evan Ingram was the last
Golden
man
Tate,
standing.
Right? Golden Tate was there, and he was hurt. Yeah.
Kadarius Toney was the last man standing last week, and I don't disagree that he's uber talented. You are 100% correct, Brandon. Uber talented. And he probably should be their number one or number two next year, because Kenny Galladay is still going to be around, but Shepard's probably gone. But right now, with Shepard active, I still go for the Daniel Jones-Shepard connection, which you cannot ignore. Shepard has been their number two, number one for a long time. They're back-to-back. So it's not that I hate them. I just have Shepard and Slayton in the lineup, so it's just the volume is not going to be there as much.
All right, guys, big change in Brandon's neck of the woods this week. Geno Smith starting for the Seattle Seahawks against the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Not exactly the matchup the NBC execs envisioned when they penciled this one in for week six. We have surmised on this show that if either DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett is more hurt by Russ being out, it is Tyler Lockett. So here's the open-ended question for you, and you can take this first, Funston. I'm benching Tyler Lockett if...
I have two guys inside my top 30, because I'm ranking Tyler Lockett at 30. I don't know what else to say other than that. Listen, like, you can take the context clues of Geno Smith and what he did in one quarter of play. He targeted Tyler Lockett four times, completed one pass for 7 yards, threw an interception. He targeted DK Metcalf four times. One of them was an interference for 13 yards, and the other three were all completed for 54 yards and a touchdown. Like, he was just much better throwing to DK Metcalf. And, like, Russell Wilson and Lockett had sort of that ESP innate sense of knowing where each other were, and I just don't see how that happens. So I'm ranking Lockett at 30, but I could also – I mean, we see Lockett get these – 2-3 catch 24-yard games, and that could really be in play in this game. So even though I'm ranking him 30, I allow for the idea that it could be lower. And if I have a safe play, even like a Hunter Renfro who catches five balls every game and is like one of five receivers to do that, there is in some cases where I might just say, oh, you know what, I need the safety of Renfro this week. So that's my case for.
Jeez, I thought you were going to leave some meat on the bone for me there, because I was about to say, like, I have him at 30, so I was going to say, you know, if you ended up getting Antonio Brown or Brandon Cooks in the middle rounds, like, you don't that you're benching him if you have those guys. And then I was going to go one step further and what you finished that with and said, or if I want the safety of Jacoby Myers at 32, who's just behind him, like, there's not really much left to say here. You know, yes, he could hit the big play because there was one that was left on the field, but that shows what Brandon talked about. Russ and Lockett have had this connection for years.
The big play connection.
And the difference between Lockett and Thielen is not that big. It's a very similar trust, touchdown dependent. Lockett puts up more yards, but I don't see that with Geno. So again, these 30, we're starting them in a lot of leagues, especially with buys, but this is the only way you could bench him would be if those options. Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time Lockett had a good fantasy game without having, like, a 50-yard catch? Maybe that didn't go for a touchdown, but, like, right, I mean, that's who Russ looks to deep.
Yeah.
And Lockett's not putting up
seven catches for 90 yards very often.
That's just not happening. So you got to trust Geno to hit him on one of these big plays. And so there is some risk tied to Tyler Lockett this week. There's also some risk tied to Allen Robinson, as we've seen every week this season. Let's look at the flip side of this. Jake, first, you are starting Allen Robinson question, Tyler Lockett versus Allen Robinson, but what gets Allen Robinson into your lineups this week?
It gets into your lineup if he's in the wide receiver four. Do you like the wide receiver low end three, high end four? If you need boom or bust and your top two wide receivers are strong, like, I tried to explain this in one of my pieces about when I'm trying to decide between wide receiver three and fours. And I said, if my top two wide receivers are like Amari Cooper, that's actually funny. Amari Cooper and Tyler Lockett are my top two wide receivers. I'm going Jacoby Myers because I need something. Like, I can't have that much volatility at all three. Those are three boom or bust guys. But, you know, maybe this week, and let's go back up my list here. Let's say my top two wide receivers are Deontay Johnson and Keenan Allen. Then I don't have a problem throwing in Allen Robinson because I could go for that ceiling. So if I need a ceiling play and I have the lineup that can absorb that ceiling play, then I would go for it. But for all intents and purposes, I mean, look at the names he's around for me. Devontae Parker, if active. And very similar at this point. Tim Patrick, very similar at this point. Odell Beckham is like, these are those kind of names at this point.
Yeah, you know, if you're sitting in a Yahoo league or an ESPN league or any league.
By the way, it's the other 13 games because we're on buys. He got that wrong. But anyway, go ahead, Boston.
Yeah. And you're looking at your team projections like everybody does for what you're projected to score that week. And if you have like a Hunter Renfro and a Jacoby Myers and an Allen Robinson, you're looking
at
your
fan club over here.
I know. Yeah, well, Jake's been throwing out Myers, so I guess Renfro's my guy. But you're projected low, you know, and you just like need that boom or bust, you know, potential of Robinson. That's where you go for him, and you know. But I think Jake basically said it in another way, so I think we're on the same page with that.
All right, well, let's stick in this range of the wide receiver rankings. Jake, you talk about these guys being wide receiver fours. Let's hear from you, Funston, on this first. A wide receiver four that you want to start in week six.
Yeah. Jake just mentioned his name, Tim Patrick. I like the matchup against the Raiders. I like Tim Patrick basically being a double-digit fantasy point guy 4 out of 5 weeks. He's been playing as a wide receiver three, and people keep ranking him as a wide receiver four. But, I have him ranked inside my wide receiver three range this week. I like Tim Patrick.
So, I like Tim Patrick as well. I'll say if playing Devontae Parker. I don't know why people are off on Devontae Parker with no Will Fuller. I understand the injury is a concern, but Devontae Parker, when he's out there, is honestly top 30 play and against Jacksonville. So, the one step further I'll go down this list is for one more week. I've been down on this guy. But for one more week, I'll give LaVisca Chenault one more chance. Because here's why. It wasn't even
for Jags fins. You wish you were in London.
I'm excited to wake up early this week. Finally, no. It really comes down to this is how you attack Miami. The Tampa Bay and Miami were very similar, and that's why I like that game. But you attack them over the middle of the field, tight ends, guys who can get. And so I think this sets up well for a Laviska Shenault game, but that requires Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence to use him more than they have.
Yeah. And it would be, I mean, after that one catch he had last week, maybe that gets him
like,
in the good
how
races.
Are we putting Jamal Agnew on the field more than Laviska Shenault?
It's insane. It's absolutely, I mean, there's a lot of things that have been hard to figure out about the first month and a half of the Urban Meyer regular season tenure in Jacksonville. And that's one of the more benign ones for sure. Let's get to make a case for you guys. Here we go. We're going to make a case for some players. Again, you know the drill. We've got four guys here. Going to pull them out at random. Let's see who we got. Let's see. Let's go with this guy. Let's go with this guy. All right. This is a fun one. We're sticking over in London, and we are going to go to, let's say,
London,
we've heard from Jake plenty on this game. We've heard from Jake plenty. So, Funston, let's make you talk about someone in this Jags-Fins game. It is Jalen Waddle. Make a case for him.
I haven't talked about Jalen Waddle a whole lot this year. Well, again, I guess I got the rose-colored glasses on with Tua coming back, and I guess the jury's still out on Tua, which is funny that the jury's not out on Jacoby Brissett. We know what he is. It's a very low ceiling quarterback. Mm-hmm. I like the upside. You look at Waddle. I mean, his first game of his career was with Tua, and he caught four balls for 61 yards and a touchdown. That's his best game to date. And he's had a 13 target game that wasn't better than that with Jacoby Brissett. I like it. I like it even better, I guess, if Devontae Parker isn't there. Either way, I like him because it's Jacksonville, because there's not a whole lot. Will Fuller's
like
not
him?
There. Yeah. Oh yeah. I like him. I don't know what I said. I don't know what the joke you're making
you like him like four times in that.
You said like, yeah, like four times in yeah. 12 seconds.
There's a few things I like about this setup. So yeah, that's my case for Waddle. I like him.
Like him quite a bit. Just like liking guys. It's fun to like stuff, right? Jake, let's hear a case for, oh yeah, Jacoby Myers.
I just did. I like Jacoby Myers. I like this matchup. I like that what he's doing. Jacoby Myers, for all intents and purposes, I keep making the joke the other direction recently, and everybody's like, oh, this is the week. He has to score a touchdown. It's like, you said that the past three games. But here's the problem is he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to score a touchdown. He can come out of the season with three or four touchdowns on the year. It's still, we're waiting for the first receiving touchdown of his career. He has two passing touchdowns, two passing, and zero receiving. Even if he finishes with zero, he's going to be a top 30 wide receiver. That's all you need to know about Jacoby Myers. He is their new Julian Edelman, just without the touchdowns. Like, the one thing about Tom Brady is he found Julian Edelman for 7, 8, 9 touchdowns all the time. The only difference here is just it's Julian Edelman without touchdowns.
I feel like he's flirted with a touchdown like most games. Like, he's right there, you know, either getting tackled at the one or something in callback. It feels like
we're going to hear the screams from Boston, well, Foxborough, if he ever scores.
New England, Providence, Rhode Island, that whole area up there.
Michael
Pittman, want to ask? That's Boston's nice. Been to Fenway once. Went to a Cubs Red Sox game there.
Been there too.
A lot of good history if you're into that stuff too, which I am. Check it out, Jake. You're not too far.
Not too far.
Take a drive. I mean,
I'm
it's
in
not
Virginia
a short drive.
Beach.
I know. We'll get a, you know, get and jump on the Acela.
That's
get
a
on the Amtrak.
Day drive.
Get on the Amtrak. Go up the coast.
Work your geography. No, I also don't have trains that come around here. Nice try.
You know, drive to DC. Get on the Acela there. Take
that's what I want to do. Can we move on to Michael Pittman?
Michael Pittman, has he become a must play, Funston?
Yeah, I think so. He's wide receiver 13 over the last month. He's like the seventh most targeted wide receiver. You saw him on Monday night. He was moving the chains for Wentz late. He's just kind of the go-to guy. I mean, the only thing you worry about, I guess, a little bit maybe, is T.Y. Hilton coming back. But look, you're going to be 6 weeks in, and I just think Carson Wentz has sort of established this chemistry with Pittman that's probably not going to go away. And he's a must-start this week against the Texans, absolutely.
Yep, nothing to add. Yep.
All right, let's wrap up wide receiver, Jake, then, with a wide receiver 3 who belongs on your bench in week 6. Hard to find, but I think you can do it.
So if Landry's back, Odell Beckham, not even starting him at this point. The only wide receiver ever. I don't even really want to start Odell Beckham in general, period. In general, period? Is that really even?
In general?
Period.
Comma. Period. Exclamation point.
Yeah, there you go. When you have 300 yards and two touchdowns and you come out of the game 2-for-30 and Odell Beckham, it's not just that Baker Mayfield's better without Beckham. He's just better not forcing it. That's the truth. The the headline catcher is he's better without Odell Beckham. The truth behind it is he's better not forcing it to him. So he's a definitive bench if Landry's back, and he's even possibly still benched even if there is no Landry, depending on your other options.
Yeah, I mean, that was my guy, too. It's obvious. What are we doing? We're continuing to not hit our head against the wall with Beckham. I guess the other one is Allen Robinson, who we've been talking about. You know, no disrespect to either of these guys' talents. They're just in bad situations, and Darnell Mooney is being ranked as wide receiver 40. I think Allen Robinson belongs right there next to him. So both of these guys are getting in as a courtesy of their name brand.
Looking good, Barkley. I will let further rain on the Odell Beckham parade. Zach Jackson, our Cleveland Browns beat writer, was on our Tuesday beat writer edition of this podcast. And I asked him if Odell Beckham had become an afterthought in the offense, and he said he can't think of any other word to describe Beckham and the role that he's playing in that offense this season. So I do think that Odell Beckham is in a prove-it-to-us-before-we-trust-you situation, which, frankly, I never thought would happen during his time in Cleveland. All right, guys, let's wrap things up here. I got a couple of tight end questions for you. We're going to start with a head-to-head at the tight end position. David Njoku, Brandon's at tight end 14, Jake at tight end 19. Brandon, let's hear the plus side of David Njoku first.
Yeah, well, he's just, you know, they like to go with the three tight end sets, and Njoku gives them an option of like a sort of a receiver, you know, playing in the tight end role. And we've seen a couple big games. I think my deal with him is, you know, when you're out here, you're playing for upside with these tight ends. I mean, because so many of them, if they don't hit, are just giving you that 2-for-20-something, you know. And at his worst, you could get, you know, he's going to give you that. But at his best, it's so much better than a lot of these guys that you're going to plug in there if you're kind of waiting in this level of the tight end pool. So I like the big play upside. I like the fact that, you know, that he had that huge game last week, and I just feel like they're going to maybe try to chase that a little bit more.
I'm glad you said the word chase, because that's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say, if you didn't see Barkley earlier, chasing the tail. That's what we're doing with the Browns. I don't want, and I just said it, I don't want anybody but Jarvis Landry. Nobody. And I don't care about the tight ends, because then it's going to be Austin Hooper week. And then Harrison Bryant's all of a sudden going to be active and catch a touchdown. And just, as you said, a lot of three tight ends. It's Donovan Peoples-Jones. It's Rashard Higgins. It's whatever. I mean, he's at 19, so you could potentially stream him. I'm not that far off from Funston. I'm just playing the devil's advocate, because that's the side of it that I'm going with here. Is I'm just not putting him near my top 15, because, sure, he could repeat. And also, it's the Browns. Different person every single week with this team.
All right, Dawson Knox has really come on strong over these last couple of weeks. Jake, is he a top five tight end rest of season?
I don't think top five, but I think he's very close. You have to remember Kyle Pitts. I would still, I know, look, I said I have legitimate concerns in the waiver column about TJ Hockenson. It was the concerns I expected at the beginning of the season, and I didn't expect it to be this bad. But I did expect Jared Goff and that defense is just focusing on Hockenson would be a problem. The volume is still there enough. It's a good chance to bounce back against Cincinnati this week. Obviously, you have Kelsey, Waller, Andrews. Kittle's when he's back and healthy, hopefully, within those 3 weeks. And then, again, Kyle Pitts. So you're already at five. And you have Dalton Schultz, who I would still take just a hair over Knox. So he's top eight. But, I mean, top eight is a huge success. I mean, yes. Dawson Knox wasn't drafted. Neither was Dalton Schultz. I mean, to have Dawson Knox finally be a thing is just a top 10 would be a success for him.
Yeah, I'm a little bit scared, too. But what I'm sort of heartened by is this started last year. He scored 5 touchdowns in the last 9 games last season. And he's kind of become their Robert Tonyan from last year where, you know, don't love the volume. It's good. As Jake said, it's good enough. But he's getting a lot of red zone work, end zone work, and that's a difference maker at the tight end position. Touchdowns are huge at tight end.
And this is from a team that lives, making big plays, lives in the red zone, great offense, great quarterback. Definitely a nice guy to have tied to your tight end position is Dawson Knox. Guys, one more question. We've been ending the show with this the last few weeks. It's become a staple of this show. What is Monday's fantasy headline, Funston? Give it to us right now.
Go first, Jake. I forgot about this.
I will go first.
God,
I have it.
Unbelievable.
Monday's headline is there are 0 undefeated teams left in the league. The Browns upset the Cardinals at home by playing.
Browns are favored by 2.5 points.
Are they? Well, so they're not the undefeated team. So they upset them from being there. You go. They take the win. Honestly, that's not even a favorite because you get 3 points for home field. So technically, on a neutral field, they're a 0.5 point underdog. So, yeah. But point being, there are zero undefeated teams left. The Browns take that one. They've had a ridiculous. You mentioned it, Beller.
You
had one
like
of the toughest opening schedules, and they have the talent on defense and offense to knock them from the undefeated tier.
With that undefeated or with that upset mentioned, you sound like the person who writes the ESPN ticker when like a college team is ranked higher but is playing at home. Right? It's like
that's what you were typing at the same time, Jake. You're right.
That is what I was typing for.
Are you talking about like Cincinnati upset Notre Dame, like that one?
Yeah, sort of like that.
Yeah.
What do you got? You plenty got time to come up with a headline here, Funston?
Yeah, I was gonna toy with the idea of the headline being Chiefs fall to 2-4, but I can't quite get myself there. I will go with Jacksonville gets their first win. I will say that the Seahawks get their first win without Russell Wilson
Homer.
In over a decade.
Travis Homer Funston. Unbelievable.
If you know me in my history, I'm always reverse jinxing. I'm always going against my Seahawks in hopes of the reverse jinx. So.
Unbelievable. You give this guy a taste of baseball success for the first time in 20 years, and suddenly
he's got hockey now, too.
Seattle all day. Yeah, he's got
That's
a
right.
hockey team now, right? It's just all Seattle all the time.
I love those graphics they do on the floor, by the way. Did you see the opening with the Vegas Knights? Yeah, when they did, they were burning the Kraken alive on the inside. Yeah, I'm excited to see the Kraken's home opener just because I just want to see it. It's just always fun seeing new teams.
Hey, yeah. If you have $5,000, you might even be able to be there live.
I'm good.
$7,000, get a plane ticket from Virginia Beach to Seattle, too.
Oh, no, I'll just drive. It's right around the corner, Beller.
Oh, man. All right. That's going to do it. We're going to wrap things up here on this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks to everyone who joined us on YouTube. Thanks to everyone who's listening to us wherever you are. If you are on Spotify, Apple, something like that, and you're not an Athletic subscriber, 50% off deal lasts another 6 days. So you got to do it now. Athletic.com/fantasy football pod. For Jake, for Brandon, I am Michael Beller. We're back with you next week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the games all weekend. Let's all go out there and get some W's in week 6. We'll be right back.